So grateful for the opportunity that we have this evening to come together and to study God's Word and to gain a little more knowledge of His will. I'm grateful for the privilege tonight to stand before you. I'm a little rusty, but maybe we can work through that. But I am pleased to have the opportunity to be with you tonight. If you haven't ever gone to the website and read the history of Eastside, I wish you would. Not right now, but later. But I want to tell you just a couple of things before we begin tonight. Before many of you were born, there were 53 Christian warriors who refused error and stood for the truth. They confronted that error, and thus the beginning of this congregation. As we think about this idea, that one of the things that happens is that nothing's happening. There we go. That'll work. Thank you. One of the things I want to mention is that we have from the scripture that Paul said Apollos watered. I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So there was a lot of watering done by many of these people. When we think about the fact that Apollos followed Paul, he preached, he taught, he exhorted, he strengthened, and out of that came fruit that was to bear. As we move on into our lesson, I want you to think about the idea that watering is part of what we do. Watering is what we do when we come together and we study and we strengthen and we cause that seed to grow. And in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25, the writer said a generous man will prosper, and he who waters will himself be watered. So we think about this idea that a large number of people watered that seed. Some were young, some were old, but it was cared for. It was faithful Christians who stood strong, and they stood long. And they fought the good fight of faith, and they lived by the gospel. And they built up the Lord's church, including this one, because they gave themselves wholly to the work. Notice what Paul said here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called. And you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What I want to say to you, that during the time that I'm speaking about, a long time ago now, it was a difficult time. Families were split. Friends ended their friendship. There were deep wounds, lots of scars, and it took years for much of that to be overcome. There's a long list of people who stood long and strong. I want to mention two, which nobody here will know because they have been gone a long, long time. But during this time in 1963, there was a lady by the name of Mrs. O.W. Dodson. She was in her late 70s. She had arthritis real bad. Her hands were gnarled. But when starting time came, she was here. And it didn't much matter what else was going on. And that was encouraging to a young fella like me. And there was also another name I want to mention. And that's Mr. and Mrs. Orvis. They were in their late 80s. He was a large man, straight, stiff back. And they came all the time. And his goal was to meet every person in the building and shake their hands. Wasn't a large crowd. That was what impressed me when I was a very young man, was what these people did. And they left a heritage for me and for you, even today. They left this heritage. These were waterers who built up something that we're still building on even today. This heritage that they left was that God's Word is important. God's Word is the foundation on which we build. And to this very day, this is what we build on. This is what we use. And this is what we do. I want to say to you tonight that this group of people that I'm talking about didn't pay attention, didn't buy into the lies that Satan tells. Oftentimes, things like God doesn't care what we do. Or lies about old age. I told somebody today, I said, I'm going to preach tonight and I'm going to preach on something I know a whole lot about. Because I've been here a long time. But one of the lies that Satan tells is that retirement time is something everybody works toward. Can't wait till I can retire. And it's a nice thing. I'm going to tell you, I've been retired a while and it's wonderful. And so when we think about retirement, it's time to sit back and rock, according to Satan. Be at your leisure. Do whatever you want to do. Don't worry about it. It's time for that. Look at Proverbs 16:31, which is on the screen. A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. That should be the primary focus of every person, is to be found in righteousness, especially in us older people, as we're getting closer to the end. We should be very attuned to that. We should be seriously godly in all that we do. And it's expected after living for many years that we should learn wisdom. All of us don't, but we should. We should let old people be old disciples, persevering to the end, setting the example for those round about us. That's what we need to do. I ask that Titus be read for a reason. Because from these passages that Paul has penned to the young preacher Titus, he says some things that we need to look at as it relates to old age, as it relates to living life. And I want you to notice that he begins by saying, as for you, now he's writing to Titus, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. But that also applies to me and you. We should be doing the very same thing. And he goes on to say, older men are to be temperate and dignified and sensible and sound in the faith and love and perseverance. Doesn't sound like retirement to me. Physical retirement from your job, not in the spiritual realm. Then he goes on to say, hey, ladies, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossip. I always read that and I think, what kind of gossip is there besides malicious? I don't think there is any other. Not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. And he goes on to describe for them what the older ladies need to be doing for the younger people. Teaching them things that we think maybe ought to have just been built in. Train them to love their husbands and their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husband so that the word of God is not dishonored. I want you to notice something here. If we as older men and older women don't teach the younger, look what happens. The word of God is dishonored. If we don't do our job, and it is, if senior Christians fail, disaster is on the horizon. And the illustration of that would be out of the book of Judges. Look at Judges. Chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us that Joshua died and he was buried. And his generation. And verse 10 goes on to tell us, and all the generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them. But guess what? They did not know God, nor the work which he had done for Israel. We got a whole book here that talks about what God did for Israel. How he led them and cared for them and took care of them. And they had failed to share that with the generations that follow. So we need to understand that if we don't pass that information along, we will have failed like the Israelites did. I'm saying to you tonight, refuse to retire from God's service. We look around, and the crowd's kind of small. I wonder if word got out I was preaching. We look around, there are a lot of young people here, a lot of children, a lot of babies. And yes, they're the future of this congregation. But do you know what the congregation will look like in a generation? It depends on what we, us, me and you, older, aged, senior Christians, share with the younger about how God has helped us, how he supported us, how he has cared for us. If we don't, we'll be like Israel and we'll lose a generation. That's what Satan is telling a lot of people. Man, when you get to retire, you just sit back and rock and do nothing. And it's just a lie that Satan is telling. I would say to you that lie number two is old people and young people don't mix. Well, we know that's not true. We know that's false. And I say to you, when COVID was around, we sat where we were assigned because it had a purpose to it. But now that that's gone, look around. Our seniors don't sit by themselves very often. And usually it's young people who are sitting around them, or family, whatever the circumstance may be. But that's just a kind of a beginning. We need to also remember our shut-ins. We don't want them to be lonely either. We have some that need our help. The proverb writer said, the glory of a young man is their strength. And the honor of old men is their gray hair. And then he goes on through the rest of that proverb, particularly talking about the design of it, is how there are advantages to having various age groups, because they have mutual benefit one to another. They engage in mutual love and assistance. For those who may not be aware of it, every once in a while somebody shows up at my house with lunch on a Saturday. And it's really nice. And the ladies of this congregation put that together. And a lot of them are young ladies, but not all of them. And it's a wonderful thing to be remembered by those who are younger, who are engaging in mutual love and assistance, and to make everyone content with their old age, their own age, not old. Think about this. Think about how many 14, 15-year-olds say, man, if I was just a little older, I could get my driver's license. Whereas older people say, if I was a lot younger, I could still run. So we're not content unless it's a spiritual contentment that we're able to put together. The older often call on the younger with help with electronics. Hence the PowerPoint. And other kinds of things. But the younger also look to the older often for advice and counsel because of the experiences and the spiritual battles and the wisdom that's gained from correcting your own mistakes. I was baptized 68 years ago. And that period of time is littered with mistakes and failures and a lot of corrections that had to be made. A lot of messes that I had to clean up in my own life. And those are some of the strongest lessons that I ever learned. You see on the screen there's something about a TikTok influencer. Every time I see that I kind of get tickled. You know, that to me is not a big deal. I don't do TikTok and I only get to see it when my granddaughter sticks one in my face. That's funny. But that's okay. What is a TikTok influencer? Well, that's somebody who has influence on what's going on there in a relatively unimportant set of circumstances. What I want to say to you tonight is ask yourself a question. Am I a Christian influencer? Am I making a difference in somebody's life? And I don't care how old you are. Doesn't have a bearing. Am I a Christian influencer? Titus 2 says, us old folks, yeah, this is your job. You're responsible to be a Christian influencer. And he also said down in verse 5 of that same reading, yeah, you young people need to be do that too. Urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified and sound speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will put to shame and have nothing to say about you. But I want you also to notice what he wrote to Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 12 of 1 Timothy. And he told him, said, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Show yourself. Demonstrate it. Let it be out there. And to you young guys that are single, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of pretty young girls in this audience who are looking for that guy in 1 Timothy 4:12. That's what they're looking for. They're anxious to find one of those. And if the girls could say amen, they would. They know what I'm talking about. Because they're hard to find. We're not demonstrating what we're called on to do all too often. And that's a problem that we have to deal with. Lie number 3 that Satan fills our heads with is getting old something to be afraid of. So they tell you not to do this, don't do that, save yourself, take care of yourself, don't do this, don't do that. Well, let's face it. Ecclesiastes writer says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. But then he goes on in verses 2-7 to describe what's going to happen. Why he says, I have no delight in them is verses 2-7. And he talks about things like loss of hair. Ran into a fellow I hadn't seen in about 15 years, and he said to me, he said, you know, you look just like you did last time I saw you. I said, sure, I do. Lost my hair, got glasses, hearing aids, and titanium knee. Other than that, I'm the same guy. Well, you know, one of the things that happens to us is the physical body decays. We do lose a lot of our sight, our strength, our health declines. We have memory loss. But that's not something to fear. You can get hearing aids. You can get glasses. You can get artificial parts of all kinds. You know, it's almost like taking your car to the garage. They put you in some new parts and here you go. You're ready to go again. We're blessed in that light. But I want you to turn over to Isaiah 46, or Isaiah 41 first, and then 46. Isaiah 41, when we look at verses 10 and 12 to start with. And the Lord said to Isaiah, don't be afraid. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am God. I will strengthen you. I surely will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Down in verse 13. For I am the Lord your God, upholds you with your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. We move on over to Isaiah 46, and this is even more specific when we get to looking at the verses there. Isaiah 46 and verse 3. The verse starts by saying, listen to me, O house of Jacob, the remnant of the house of Israel. And notice the words that he uses here. You have been born of me from birth. You have been carried from the womb even to your old age. I will be the same, the Lord said. Even to your graying years, I will bear you. And then notice the next phrase. God said, I have done it. This is not a thing that's pie in the sky. Maybe it's going to happen. He says, I've done it. I've already done it. I will carry you and I will bear you and I will deliver you. You cannot get better promises than that anywhere. Except maybe in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, where the Lord said, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? When you have those kinds of promises, fear's out the window. It's gone. It's nowhere left to be around because God has removed it with the promises that he has made for us. It just removes fear. And line number 4. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I say, that's truly false, because I got a cell phone in my pocket and I can dial it. I can do a little more than that. I text occasionally. I want to tell you a reason that I have, there's plenty of evidence to that all the way around, but especially right here in this building. We have some really good electronics. PowerPoint. Sound system. And you know, a silver-haired guy put most of that together. Wasn't me, but somebody did. I want to say to you something else. If you come to the Friday night singings we have every third Friday night, guy gets up and says, we're going to sing number 27, verses 1, 3, and 5. Boom. It pops up on the screen. Ever been anywhere else you saw that? I never have. I have never seen that. And there were, I suppose it may be somewhere, but I don't know where. But it's here because the silver-haired guy knew how to make it happen. And we have it, and it's good for us. Now, I want us to think spiritually from this point on. Nothing else. We're going to be done with the physical part. You can't be. We live in the flesh, so we have to use part of that. I just say to you, never retire. Never retire. when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, the apostle Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but through that, though the outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Let's look at that a little more carefully. When he says, therefore, he's talking about the promises of God had made before that. For this cause, Paul said, what has sustained him is the elevated purpose of saving souls. That's what made Paul who he is, which allowed him to do the things that he did and overcome the many things that he did during his life. We faint not. We're not exhausted. We're not despondent or disheartened, but really we're encouraged, even emboldened, when we focus on the elevated purpose of saving souls. He goes on to say, but though our outward man is perishing, it's growing old, it's decaying, things don't work good anymore, we're weak, we're feeble, don't have the strength we did. One writer's talked about elasticity. And I thought, yeah, he's an old guy because we don't got any. It's gone. But only in the physical sense, not in the spiritual sense. He then gets to the heart of the matter. Yet the inward man, that which is not decaying, the soul, the part that is so important in our life, it's renewed, it's renovated, it's invigorated, strengthened. We're able to have courage to be bold. We're able to have a clear view of God's truth. Because as you get closer to the grave, you're getting closer to heaven when you're God's servant. And then he says, day by day, constantly, constantly increasing our inward vigor, strengthened for trials and sustaining us during all the difficult times. Albert Barnes wrote in his commentary kind of a synopsis of this. The sentiment of this verse is that in an effort to do good, promote the salvation of man, souls will be sustained in trials, comforted, invigorated, even while the body is weary, grows old, decays, and dies. That's what happens to the physical body. That's not what happens to the spiritual body when we're looking to the Lord for all that comes to us. I direct you to 2 Peter chapter 1. As Peter wrote a rather lengthy dissertation in the first chapter that gives us something to stand on, if you will. He begins in verse 5 by saying, therefore. So we need to look to see what the therefore is about. Verses 3 and 4. He says, seeing that his divine power has granted unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Ponder that for a moment. God has given us everything that pertains to living life here upon this earth, which promotes us to live life with God eternally. That's why he put man here in the first place. He goes on to say, this comes about through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them we may become partakers of the divine nature. How come? Having escaped the corruption of the world. That's why we can have access to that. That's why it is of value to us. He goes on to say, we've escaped the corruption of the world, so therefore, here's what we ought to do. For this very reason, applying all diligence In your faith, supply moral excellence, knowledge, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and your perseverance, godliness, and your godliness, brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are valuable traits that we need to have in our lives if we're going to spend eternity with God. We need to cultivate these very virtues. We need to progress from one to another. And we need to accumulate these traits in our lives. We need to squeeze every opportunity to gain knowledge that we can into our lives. Don't miss opportunities to learn, whatever they may be. I want to pause here and say one other thing. If in your life you're called on to care for the sick, maybe a grandparent, maybe a parent, maybe a spouse, maybe a child, you're going to need these. You're going to need these things. You're going to need self-control, perseverance. Excuse me. You're going to need brotherly kindness. You're going to need all these things to sustain you during the course of that time. Increasing, growing towards God. Never retire your brain in your service to God, because if you do, you lose it. In verse 10 of, still in 2 Peter, he says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain that your calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Again, what a guarantee that God has promised us if we will practice these things. I'll give you something to think about just for a minute. When Satan tempted Eve, he didn't call on her to steal or kill or what we might call any big sin. What he called on her to do was question God's authority. So that gives you an idea of the cunning and the slyness of Satan as he uses all different kinds of ways to come at us. I want to suggest to you one other thing tonight. I want to say to you, here's my pledge. I want to live as long as I can. I hear people say, man, I want to die and go to heaven. Well, I do too, but not yet. There's stuff to be done. There's people whose souls are lost. So I want to live just as long as I can, as well as I can. And I want to serve my Savior as faithfully as I can, come what may. And I hope every Christian will adopt a pledge just like that. It may help us as time goes along. And then I would say to you, when the younger have difficulties, and they will come, they'll have confidence to look to the senior Christians for advice and counsel and help. But only if we have shared with them how God has helped us, that it's not just something we read about in the scriptures, but it's real. It's real that God cares for us and he helps us and he sustains us and he maintains us through his word. All things are possible if we're devoted and dedicated to him. As we bring our lesson to a close tonight, I would ask you, have you seen senior Christians who have been an example that you'd want to follow? Have you seen senior Christians who have shown how God has helped them because they've shared it with you? And maybe there's a person here who's not a Christian that maybe has seen that and it has caused them to desire to obey the will of God, to become a recipient of the things that we talk about, eternal life, the magnificent and precious promises, the divine nature. We can be partakers of that, Peter tells us. Perhaps there's a Christian here who maybe has not been as diligent in serving God as they need to be, whether young or old. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If we can serve you in any way, we'd invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.